in on the right number.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God. In the name of Jesus, I truly am honored in the name of Jesus to be before you on today. I do want to thank God for being ahead of my life. Yes, he is. I also want to acknowledge my wonderful, beautiful wife, Lady Diane Shaw. And also I'd like to acknowledge those that are listening by way of YouTube, Skype, Blog Talk, Twitter, or wherever you may be hearing this message on today. God bless you for all of what you do and how you've come this far. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. We truly are honored to be here before you today, giving you the word of God once again. I come forth with a message that's very encouraging, knowing that it's time to give it back to God, because he's coming back, and you got to be ready. You've got to be ready. We know for a fact that in the name of Jesus, that as we go through our life, we constantly have to overcome negativities and discouragements that we come up against. It's oftentimes that we fall victim to falling into the trap. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Those things that transpire out there in the world that used to be what you were about, then you stepped away from that to turn your life around and get a change, but then you step back into it. What do you want? What do you want? The Bible lets us know that would a dog return to his vomit? Are we? When we transpire into the lifestyle of sin and do the things that are associated with taking us away from the work that God has planned for us to do, wondering and acknowledging that we're not here for ourselves. We're here for the glory of God. And it's important for us to be able to humble ourselves in the midst of the circumstances that we come up against. God is an awesome God. And no matter what, we've got to continue to press on. In the midst of our adversity and our wrong, we do realize in Jesus' name that we're able to do far and exceedingly above anything we can think or imagine. But first, we have to do a few things. Become a child, a woman of God, or man of God. You see, we become grafted into the body of Christ by acknowledging John 3:16, and we recognize in the name of Jesus the imperative nature that we have as men and women on this earth today, that we come into this world, but it's only but for a moment. Might have been several moments. Might have been 10 years for some. Might have been 100 years for others. But wherever and however we had to go through that point of being tired of being tired, then it's that point when we need to turn to Christ in the name of Jesus. We come today with a message that's going to give some encouragement. Trust in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and his anointing. And I recognize that even through my walk, there's times in which I've made mistakes in situations that kept me from moving forward. But yet, how sweet he is. God is an awesome God. He's a forgiving God. We recognize in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that often should you forgive your brother? How many times? The Bible says 7 times 7. So that means we have to humble ourselves. No matter how difficult it might be to say I'm sorry or apologize or show some point of remorse, understanding that we have a responsibility to abide with God's law, God's ordinances, for he gave us that of the Ten Commandments, and we have to obey those. We have to obey them. You see, when we sin, that means we're turning our back against God. And when we sin, that means we're becoming gods, above God, because we're putting ourselves above him. I recognize today, praise God, the imperative nature of confession and repentance. For it's in that that we become pure and genuine and able to be used by God when God sees fit and wants us to do. Like you say, that's our main objective for life, is to serve the Lord our God with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. That's the commandment. One of the best commandments of all. Another one is to serve no other gods before him, or put any other god before him. Those are two commandments that we must definitely understand. Because God is God all by himself. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. He's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's everywhere. So it's in that you can't hide anything. Those secrets that you do in the closet, you can't hide anything. The things you're doing behind your wife's back or your husband's back, you can't hide anything. We tell kids all the time that you may not see your parents, but God sees everything. So who you with? Are you going to trust the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength? Because you see, God created us out of his image from the dust of the ground. The dirt got and be made alive because of God's spirit. You see, when he says in Genesis that he blew the breath of life into man and he became a living soul. Come on. That's the beginning, you understand. That you're nothing without the presence of God in you. For God to take dirt and make life. Yet he acknowledges unto us, praise God, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. You came from nothing, so you return to nothing. Because your true self is that of the Spirit. It's in that Spirit, in the name of Jesus, that we must obey God. Because the ultimate spirit is the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come forth to you on today speaking on confessions and repentance. And what brings us to this is the fact that we have a responsibility to be forgiven of our sins so that we can cleanse the temple, which is our body, or that dirt that was formed into a body. And God gave us life when we accepted him into our life. And it's through that Spirit of God that we're able to become living spirits, living souls, where God can use us because his Spirit is the Spirit that's imparted on the inside of us. So he's speaking to himself in a sense where we become like Christ. Because of the death of Jesus Christ that we believe he died, went to a borrowed tomb, and rose on the third day. Jesus is God in the flesh. So what he has for us to realize on today, in order for his spirit to rest into our bodies, into our life, we have to be cleaned. For the Bible says that no good thing can dwell in an unclean spirit. The Spirit of God cannot dwell in an unclean spirit, unclean body. And that makes you, in a sense, I would say, well, a bastard child, a fatherless child. If you do not claim and take the claim of God's creation of you, Because we're not creators of ourselves. But you have a choice to your destiny. For the fact of what God gave us, the free will to choose. And when he asks us on today, he says, what do you choose this day? Life or death? That's a choice. In the scripture on today, praise God, we read out of James chapter 4, verse 4. And then we'll journey over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And we will expound on these scriptures on today, trusting that you will be enlightened and encourage to press on towards your mark. Amen. So praise God, as we come, praise God, to the reading of our word, we realize that God is able to do far exceedingly above anything we can think or imagine. And the story in which we have to give even more clarity comes by way of Nicodemus. Now, this is Nicodemus' story where Jesus Christ was going on with his disciples and ministering. As he was ministering through the word, traveling over the streets and of Israel and Jericho and Egypt and all over that part of the world, he came upon a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very wealthy man. Nicodemus was a very knowledgeable man as well. And we know that as Nicodemus of a Pharisee, and he was a member of the council. Now understand, he came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, and no one could do the miracles and the miraculous signs that you do unless God were with you. See, for John chapter 3, verse 3 says, Jesus replied, I tell you, solemn truth, unless a person is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, verse 4 says, for Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He can't enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he? Jesus answered unto him, I tell you the solemn truth. Unless a person is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born from above. Verse 8, the wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Jesus answered, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand these things? I tell you the solemn truth. We speak about what we know and testify about that we have seen, but you people do not accept that testimony. The main scripture here that we have of John chapter 3 is that how can a man be born again when he reaches the age of old. And the thing we recognize here, praise God, through the story, is the curiosity and question that people have. How can a man be born again? How can a man be born again? How can I be forgiven of the wrong that I've done? How? Yet the one thing we come forth on today to stand and recognize is that Nicodemus was an old man. He's gone through a lot, had a lot of knowledge. But even through the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that he had, it was nearly as positive and as true as what God has acknowledged unto us to do. Now, being wise, knowledgeable, and a rich man, this question still came about. How can a man be born again? Well, what we have to do is recognize, praise God, is First John, where we read, praise God, on where we see we have a responsibility to confess our sin. We read in James chapter 4 that we have to confess our sins. By confessing our sins, we know that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Once that transpires and have the cleanness of the spirit of your body, then it's at that point we can accept the Holy Spirit into a clean temple. We've seen in the Bible where we read how the money changers were exchanging money in the temple of God. They were defiling the temple. Jesus went in there and turned over those tables, just as he does and gets our attention on today. What table is he turning over for you now? Reason why that's mentioned is because our lives are generated by the Spirit of God to receive the goodness of God. The goodness of God and gifts of God and blessings of God are not coming onto you. Question your spirit. Who are you with? Who are you serving? Because the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added on. It just happens by accepting the Spirit of God into your life and become a child of God, grafted into the body of Christ. We look at 1 Thessalonians, praise God, chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to go to verse 13, but I would have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is the meat. Chapter 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now recognize the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God in our life, that in spite of the wrong and the negativities in which we've done, no matter how the lifestyle had been in which we lived, the word says there's no unforgivable sin known to man other than that of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, which is real and it's of God. So understand and realize the importance of repentance and forgiveness. For we must repent and ask for forgiveness so that the Spirit of God can dwell in the temple in which we have been created. We are the temple of God. And as mentioned, the Spirit of God, which is God, will not and cannot dwell in you if we live in that lifestyle of drunkenness, debauchery, stealing, all that negativity that you know is wrong against God. Even if you had not read the Word of God, if you had not experiences of the Word, still, through your mom and dad, you learned, or somebody taught you right or wrong. And as we learn in our spiritual and Christian life, is that we have a responsibility to obey, come on somebody, our parents. Our life should be long. We have ordinances and responsibilities that we have to obey as we become men and women of God. Yet, what's imperative is that you understand God don't bless no mess. And if you're halfway in and halfway out, you might as well go on. Because God says in his word that he would rather for you to choose whether you be hot or cold than lukewarm. The Bible says he will spew you out. Who wants to be spewed out? You might be thrown up by a dog. Am I right about it? Because if you're going back in the same lifestyle that caused you the problems and havoc, if you're still dealing with the situations of addictions that you were delivered from but you went back to, if you still live a good life with the person that you're with, your mate, if you will, your wife or your girlfriend, your husband or your boyfriend, your person that you associate as being your better half, if you will. And if we go and you sin against your wife or the word, the law of the word of God, you sinned against God. We must repent and ask for forgiveness. For if we do not and we get caught up and die in our sin, we're going to be held accountable for that. The Word of God lets us know clearly that he stands at the door in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, or 20. Chapter 3, verse 20 says that I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears an answer and comes in, I will sup with you and you with me. You become strength. You have strength and encouragement. Continue to press on because now it's not about you anymore. You see, what I mentioned earlier, as our actual studies of Miles Monroe, he lets us know, praise God, that God is the ultimate creator of all. He lets us know, praise God, that God created us from dust. We go on to 1 John. The Bible says that God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That truth is that of the word of God, because it's the spoken word that God spoke. And he spoke, and if it's not audible, because he's not talking to you now, you say it like in the clouds, You know how they did in the movies you've seen with, I forget the guy's name, they played Moses. But he's not talking out of the clouds like he did before. He's talking in your spirit. He's talking in your heart. That heart has to be a heart of his. Now, he has control to take control. But he said no. In the word of God, he says he gives us his free will. That free will is to choose from right or wrong. What do you choose this day? You see, God gives us all of what we need. But this is not like witchcraft. This is not like no final witchcraft spell by saying in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. What it is that we're activating and giving God the permission to act in our life. If you're broke, know what the word of God says about you. I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. I am rich. God lets us know in his word that to be in the world and of the world, you can't be with Christ. The Spirit of God cannot dwell in you if we're still out there kicking it, getting drunk, passing out, doing drugs, partaking in that lifestyle that keeps us from serving God. We mentioned in the beginning of the show that two of the most greatest, they're all great, don't get me wrong, but he mentions in his word, as we read in the New Testament, or the Old Testament, I'm sorry, we started reading from Genesis to Revelation. We read how he says he wants us to love him with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. And that we should have no other God before him. So with that being said, we have a responsibility to surrender our selfishness and put on the armor of God so that we can resist the wiles of the enemy. He learned in the name of Jesus that the serpent was a snake. The snake, we know it's a snake. He beguiled Eve. He beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. And with that, man was an upright. Snake. The snake at that time didn't roll down on the ground like they're doing. They didn't slither through the ground. They were upright. Snakes were upright. In fact, they mentioned that they take a look at the skeletal bones of the snake. They can see how they used to have protruding bones. They used to have protruding bones, femurs, for legs when they used to walk upright. But because he beguiled ye and brought that deception into the world and sin, he cursed the snake to lay and crawl on the ground all his life. There's many out there that are snakes. And you see, they keep us from doing what God had intended us for us to do. Our objective on today is to worship the Lord. Somebody needs to just say, thank you, Jesus. I challenge anybody just to say, thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Because he's brought you a mighty long way. He's brought me from a point where I had been on a level of death. Been through the addictions, been through the alcohol problems, been through the drugs, been through the streets, been through brokenness. And I come to you today to let you know I wouldn't grow up like that. My father and mom provided me with an excellent home. thankful for those provisions. Yet the enemy came onto my life to keep me from receiving what God had for me, and that's the inheritance. The inheritance of eternal life. For if you do wrong, if you don't accept Christ, and you don't repent of your sins, confess, then you're going to be held back. This isn't one of those things that we have time to do. We read, no man knows the day nor the time of Jesus' return. But he's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? We should understand that biblical confessions are things that we must confess that's away from the Word of God. Biblical confessions are those that we have sinned against God's Word, but also if we desire, let's speak the Word of God upon the situation to give life to that situation. We read in 1 John that he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we want to have something come alive for us. We have to know what the Word of God says. The state has laws. The country has laws. God has laws. When you go into the courtroom and you're disputing your case and you're confessing you're wrong, is it in accordance to what the Word of God says? God's law, God's way, or is that your way? For when we go against the laws of the land, we have to pay. We get ticketed. You get fined. You go to jail, go to prison. However it might be legally that it would happen, it would happen. You will pay. But when we deal with the Word of God and the confessions, we confess the Word of God upon a situation. I'm beautiful in the Lord. See what I am. Find out what the Word of God says you are. See what the Word of God says and how he said you can be. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I need to abstain from that stuff that's associated with the world. That'll get you off of focus, make you get up late to work, make you cheat on your wife or your husband, make you not take care of your kids. But if you know what the Word of God says about how you ought to be, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. Find what the Word says about you, because God already acknowledged that through his Spirit, he's in you. You are small g. But yet if you go into the world and partake in those things of the world, the Spirit of God cannot dwell in that unclean temple. So in that point, you cannot be considered a small g or even a family or body of God. You have to be separated. You have to be down away with. You have to be a cast away. Oh, no. God gives us a second chance. That's where we are able to repent. We repent of our sins. And what we're doing when we repent, we're not making any excuses. We're admitting we were wrong. We confessed our sins. I did what I did. Forgive me, Lord. And once we come forth to be honest with ourselves about the truth of the matter, we make the devil a lie. Come on, somebody. For the Bible says, as greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You see, this is where it becomes imperative that we get a relationship. Get to know God. You're a lawyer. when you come to dispute your case in front of God. But like lawyers who try cases, they have to do research on that case so they can speak on it and defend whatever actions that the person made. But how can you talk about it if you didn't read about it, know about it? The Bible says to study the word that show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And I come by today to tell you that God's word is the truth. The word lets us know that he, Jesus, was the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. Now, oh God, that makes me feel good right there. I got little bumps on my hands and arms. I got little, because God is good and that spirit is real. We can constantly fight against it. You can constantly deny it. You can constantly not do it because you're lazy. But you know what? You need to study the word of God. We've got to study the word of God. We've got to come to know who God is through his word. But once you open that Bible is like that dirt that God formed man in. Oh, whew, Jesus. That Bible that we have, that outside, that paper, that's all natural stuff that's in there, that's of the earth. But God's word that is breathed and said on the inside of this Bible gives life to this word. So we can speak to your situation. Money cometh to me. I am rich in the Lord. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All things work together for the good. Speak the word of God upon your situation. Because it's not of your words that you're getting it. It's God's words that you're getting. It's his law that he wrote down. It's his ordinances that he wrote down. It's what he said we can have. And if you don't know what it is and the power that's in you, you're going to be held back. Know who you are. Speak those things. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. That scripture. If you're going through a little issue financially, even on to now, if you're going in the situation that you have a little want or need, the Bible says God will provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. Know what the word says. If you're in pain, if you're broke, if you're sad, whatever the situation might be, the word of God has an answer for you. When we have to present that before the judge, oh hallelujah, and speak those things and let them know, get behind Satan. God is an awesome God. He's above. He's not beneath. We are in an awesome day on today where we have an opportunity to stand forth and be accountable for who we are and what it is that's in our life. This message on today is one of encouragement to let you know that get to know who your God is. No. Let me rephrase. Get to know who God is. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our debts, as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Believe in it. Trust in that. have faith, know that God is still on the throne. Thank you for joining us on today. I thank you. Sorry we ran into a few technical difficulties, but that was the enemy trying to keep us from getting his word out there. Confess your sin. Repent. The Bible says that if we repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, you'll receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost is power. Beat it. Get stronger. God is a good God, and he's still on the throne. I want to thank you, everyone, for joining us on today. And continue to support us here at David and Diane Ministry and Friends, because we're working diligently to continue to bring the word to these black people. We also have a member, a man who's out of Los Angeles, California, who brings forth a message that's very powerful on Monday evenings, Central Standard Time, that comes on at 8, and then Pacific Time, I believe that comes on at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, and then we're looking at 9, I believe, on the East Coast, Mountain Time. So praise God. Join us in hearing for the blessings of what God has for us. Thank you for joining us. And just remember, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you shall be silent. God bless you.
No.